Woo!
It's a war. Social media companies, our kids' minds and hearts, school districts and the lawyers that say enough is enough. And massive, massive victory. Zuckerberg, the Facebook founder, settled a lawsuit in Kentucky. And the man who sent me that message, the man in the middle of this who makes a difference every damn day, Tom King. Good to be the king. Attorney Tom King. This is big, brother, is it not?
Thank you, Marty. Yeah, this is gigantic news. It's out there in the national news today, but yesterday was a monumental day in the litigation against the social media companies, including TikTok and Snapchat, who had settled the first case, and then Google jumped in and settled in this Kentucky case, this Breathitt County case. The significance of this is the Breathitt County case is it's a small school district down in rural Kentucky. It's only 1,800 kids, and it's the case that was selected by the social media companies. They selected this case, so you would assume this is their best case and our worst case, and they settled. And yesterday, the fourth domino out of four fell, which is Meta and Zuckerberg. So Zuckerberg had been holding out. He'd been called into Congress. He had to testify in Congress. He had to testify in the court case. He would have had to testify here in this Kentucky case, too. And of course, all these cases are filed in California. But this is gigantic news. The terms of the settlement are not public yet. But the fact that they've settled is monumental. There are reported to be about 1,200 cases out there. We have 100 of those 1,200 in Pennsylvania that we're representing.
Hey, Tom, let me interrupt you. Should folks care? Give us the root of these cases, because this is really important. Tell us why.
These cases involve the public school districts in this state, including intermediate units and the local schools. Some of them, like Butler and Seneca Valley and Mount Lebanon and others, we're representing in these cases. And each school has their own case, but everybody has a different story of what's happened to their school district and what's happened to kids in their school district. Some of these stories, as you know, Marty, are horrendous. The things that have happened to these kids because of things that have shown up on Snapchat or on Meta, et cetera, you know, instructions on how to commit suicide and instructions on how to rip sinks out of school bathrooms, and just the addiction that's been created by the social media companies is at the heart of this. And the stories are compelling, and the damage to the schools is real. So this is a monumental day in our world. And I think the lawyers are to be congratulated for moving forward with changes in our society that are going to be beneficial to everybody, to stop indoctrinating 12 and 13 and 14 and 8-year-old kids with the kind of nonsense that's been on these social media platforms.
The claim is that Google, YouTube, Meta, TikTok, Snap, that they platforms have created this youth mental health crisis, right, Tom?
Yes, sir. The idea here is, the companies came in and defended and said it's free speech and Congress has protected us, and the courts have said, listen, you're protected to a certain degree, but you're not protected against algorithms, and you're not protected against using those algorithms to addict our children to the stuff you're putting out there, and you are responsible for the content that goes on your platforms. And so these settlements in this first case, even though it's a small school, 1,800 kids, and it's in rural Kentucky, they were brave enough to take them on, and David just beat Goliath.
Well, they call it a bellwether case because it was set to go to trial next month, was it not, sir?
Yes, sir. And it's the first bellwether case involving schools. The other bellwether cases that were tried already, one by the attorney generals in New Mexico, several state attorney generals in New Mexico. The other in California was an individual young woman who was addicted to this stuff and experienced horrendous physical injuries as a result. Both of those cases were tried to a verdict, and both of those cases were won against the social media company. So this one was the first school case, and I guess they decided that they'd had enough from the first two that they weren't going to try the school case. So it's a great day for the schools and a victory for everybody who's involved in the case.
So you understand, if this is about money, it's about money to make a difference. Using Kentucky as an example, they need more than $60 million, or they want to create a 15-year program that will help counteract mental health and learning issues caused by social media. Use the money to make change. Yes, Tom?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's what it's about. And the schools, like our vaping cases with Jewel, against Jewel, the money that will be generated out of these cases will enable these districts that were brave enough to step up and participate in this litigation to enact cases like that and to offer counseling and guidance and psychiatric help and to get these kids off the addiction that's become social media.
At the end of the day, the hope is that this will put governors, they have a governor on an engine so you can only go so fast, monitor it, control it, regulate it, make it safer, and make it a tool that helps kids, that doesn't hurt kids. At the end of the day, Tom King, that's the goal of all this litigation, is it not, sir?
It is. It is, absolutely, Marty. And, of course, you know, in our system, our judicial system, whether it's personal injury or whatever damages somebody suffered, the only remedy we have is money, right? So when these companies have to pay out money and significant money, they'll alter their behavior to avoid having to do that in the future. And so the idea is to alter their behavior in a way that benefits society and benefits these kids that are entrusted to us to educate.
Tom King, good to be the king, sir. It's great stuff. This is
Thanks,
the
Marty.
Crossroads, sir, is it not?
Yes, sir. It's a big day, and it's the rule of law is an overused term, but in this case, the rule of law has prevailed, and for the benefit of society and these kids. So, thanks for having me on, Marty.
And before you go, what's paramount here is that prior to this, the word in legal circles was "don't jack with the internet companies." They can't be jacked with. This disproved that premise. Is it not? Did it not, sir?
It did. We got a lot of heat from a lot of people saying, "You guys are, you know, you're jousting at windmills,
yep,
and you can't win this case," and that kind of thing. So I don't know, but I think a lot of lawyers feel the same way I do. I mean, that's just encouragement to us.
Inspires you.
We don't mind taking on the tough cases, and there are other great lawyers in Pittsburgh who feel the same way that I do, and so we enjoy practicing law because we're able in some cases like this to effectuate monumental change.
Meta's response, we resolve this case amicably and remain focused on our long-standing work to build protections like teen accounts that help teens stay safe online while giving parents simple controls to support their families, end quote. Tom King, great work, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me, Marty. Appreciate it.
That's why I love lawyers. They bring the hammer, man, and they demand change. You folks make them all about money and trying to get rich. Guy like that, not about the money. It's about making a difference. And this is massive. This will have an impact on the 1,200 lawsuits all over the country, including several filed here, including one in the district where my kids go to school, Mount Lebanon. You want to hear a clip? This is why most of us are annoyed as hell by most politicians, why they give me a rash. This guy, this ignorant so-called leader, name's Ralph. Ralph Norman. He's a Republican from South Carolina, congressman. They elected him. He's a congressman. You're going to hear this, and you're going to understand why the guy should be at home watching Wheel of Fortune. He's in a district that's well over a million people. He represents this goofball. And I mean that in the nicest way. This is what he said when he was asked about January 6th. You know, the rioters, you know, storming the Capitol, you know, all that. Yeah. This is what this so-called leader said. This is yesterday afternoon. Listen.
To those guns. People who assaulted police.
Look, January 6th is an issue that was made up in the first place.
People were convicted of assaulting police.
Well, I know made up, sir?
That was a staged thing from day one.
What about it?
The riot was staged?
When you had police officers letting people in the building, when you had people that's not being prosecuted, forget his name, there's no excuse for that.
Your colleagues, though, your Republican colleagues ran for their life and barricaded themselves in their chamber. Do you think they were acting?
No, there was a riot there, but it was self-made riot by members who hate Trump. It was made up, in my opinion.
What a jerk. To make it real to you, listen to it. This is a grown man who represents well over a million people in South Carolina. This is a grown man. Listen.
To those guns. People who assaulted police.
Look, January 6th is an issue that was made up in the first place.
That was a staged thing from day one. What about it?
The riot was staged?
When you had police officers letting people in the building, when you had people that's not being prosecuted, Ray, forget his name.
Your colleagues, though, your Republican colleagues ran for their life and barricaded themselves in their chamber. Do you think they were acting?
No, there was a riot there, but it was self-made riot by members who hate Trump. It was made up, in my opinion.
That's not some jag-off downtown with a bottle of wine. That's not some idiot. That's a congressman. That guy. He was elected. Made up. This is where we're at. Made up. I was made up. How the hell does he stay in power? So these videos of these cops getting their asses kicked and his colleagues hiding under desks think they're all going to die. It's all staged? This is where we're at, man. This is unbelievable to me. This is that has that Sandy Hook vibe to it. You know that Alex Jones moron. He said all those kids who were executed at Sandy Hook in that mass killing. It was all staged. It was all actors. What are we doing here, man? And Alex Jones just a fathead far right idiot. This guy's an elected congressman, made up. How does he get away with that? Who allows him to do that? And it suggests to me that if he believes that and he's elected, that his constituents believe that. Otherwise, his ass would be sitting at home where it belongs, watching Wheel of Fortune. He's the guy. He wants this slush fund, this disgusting taxpayer funded pot of money for convicted crooks and criminals. He's the guy that supports this. These morons are all over the networks now that beat the hell out of cops, hurt them, rioted, threatened to kill everyone. They now want cash payments. They want paid. For real. We had Marty Dietz on. Fantastic attorney here in town. Mostly federal cases. He represents eight of these clowns from January 6th. Several went to prison for beating cops. They want money. Trump enables this. Your guy. They want millions of dollars of your money. So first of all, they rioted, threatened to kill everyone, injured cops. Several died later. Suicide injuries died. They want paid. Somehow. And then you have a congressman saying, well, they should be paid. This is all made up. I mean, if he's anyone else, if he's sitting down in your living room this weekend and he says that, you're going to whisper to your wife, that guy needs mental health treatment. He's a congressman. He said it was made up. And now they're going to take nearly $2 billion of our money and pay these idiots for committing crimes against the federal government, for beating up cops. I don't know what to say about this. Trevin, come on. I saw you shaking your head. Come on, man.
Man, this is something I have to keep to myself.
Unbelievable, brother.
First of all, you have to respect the Capitol, period.
Right on.
You have to respect the Capitol. And then you have to respect the country. And I'm not saying...
How about the truth?
Yeah, respect the truth. But, I mean, and Patrick and I had this conversation before.
Uh-oh.
This thing about this slush fund, it goes deeper than that.
I mean, my man's an elected congressman. He said it's made up.
But
Trevin, he
was voted. That's what I'm saying.
When
you vote for to give people the privilege to represent you.
Patrick, they voted for this guy. Which means they believe this too.
Well, he was elected before this, so I can't say everyone that voted for him voted for this specific.
He said it with a level of comfort. Yeah, that's made up.
How long has he been in office, Marty? Because that's where the comfort comes
from. Looks like 100 years.
Yeah, if he's been there for a minute, he's going to be comfortable.
It's true. I'm disgusted by all of it. He should be ashamed of himself.
Well, that's like somebody saying the Oklahoma City bombing was made up.
So true.
Never happened.
Never. Or Sandy Hook.
They would crucify him for that.
Or 9/11. Jesus. One of the most productive doctors I know, because she's helped so many people I know, is Dr. Jess from Physical. Hi, Doc.
Hi, Marty.
You got to feel so much satisfaction, because I hear from these folks all the time. You have folks that come into your office, into your facility, and they're hurting, and they leave with hope. That has to provide you personally with so much satisfaction, doesn't it, Jess?
It is very heartwarming, and it gives me a very strong sense of satisfaction and love of my job.
Yeah. Because you got folks that walk in, they say, I can't walk. I can't lift a can of beer. I can't get up out of the chair. I can't go upstairs. I can't get in the car. I can't get in the shower. And within 2 or 3 months, they can do all those things. It's kind of cool, right? And it gives them hope and a plan, does it not, Jess?
It does, Marty. And a really cool thing about our clinic is not just the the therapist being your cheerleader and believing in you, but there's also a sense of camaraderie amongst our patients too. It's not just your therapist telling you that you have a good job, you're doing a good job. We have patients that whenever they see somebody conquering a balance activity, they yell across the gym and they tell them that they're doing a good job, and that they've seen the progress themselves with them coming in here as well. And then they sit and talk in the waiting room and they bond over if they're veterans, if they have the same situation going on, like with our neuropathy patients, or if they've experienced a lot of falls. And they also share, honestly, their love of our clinic. They tell us all the time, they tell each other that they feel like they found a home with us and that they've never been anywhere like this before.
412-457-8200, 412-457-8200. Conversely, my father-in-law has kind of given up because of his neuropathy. And then my wife told me last night that, because she's trying to manage their lives, that he went to make, with all due respect, I love the man, but what happens is part of this giving up, you do stupid crap. He went to McDonald's 20 days straight. My point is, if you don't get on a positive path, Jess, you kind of backslide, do you not?
You definitely do. You're right, Marty.
And there has to be hope. But when they come through your doors, that's where the process starts. Tell me a cool story about someone that had no hope and now they do.
Well, I'll share a really cool story that happened to me this week, Marty. I have a patient who is deaf and his wife was acting as his interpreter. This was only probably his third session. Uh-huh. He was in inpatient rehab. He had hospitalizations and he just wasn't strong. So he came into our clinic to work on his balance and get strong. And I do not know ASL or American Sign Language myself. So his wife acted as an interpreter. But this week he came in and his wife told me that she could not stay for his session today. But he felt comfortable enough to be in the clinic with us for over an hour without any of us really truly knowing ASL. But we had another patient who printed out a poster for us, so we know some basic sign language here. So I was able to communicate with him effectively, and it really warmed my heart whenever he felt comfortable enough to stay in our clinic with us without having somebody who technically spoke his own language. And he's doing fantastic. Like I said, it's only his third visit. He's standing on foam. He's boxing with me. We're playing volleyball. He's really doing amazing.
412-457-8200, 412-457-8200, Dr. Jess at Physical. Thanks, my dear. You're the best.
Thank you, Marty. Have a great weekend.
The reason why I love her, first of all, she knows what she's doing. She's extremely gifted at it. She's very focused and loves helping people. We're supposed to hear from Pat Catena, the county council president who just resigned, here in a minute or so. I have my man, Lance O'Brien, from MediConnect. The thing is, you kind of subscribe to the same sort of thought process of Jess. You have folks that come to you and your entity and agency and business that have no hope. And your job is to set them up so that they're taken care of. It's kind of rewarding for you too.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, insurance is complicated, right? Medicare is complicated. You see so much, you get so much mail, like it's just overwhelming. Like, what do I do here? Am I doing the right thing? And be able to sit down with somebody, even if they stick with what they have, but they know now this is absolutely the best thing for me. That's super rewarding.
Well, what's cool about MediConnect, and I know this because we're good friends and I've been around this for a while, you have no advantage in the game by directing him to one particular provider. You succeed regardless of where they go. So you're a neutral party expert, which is what we need.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most important things for seniors is to have options, because people think about insurance and they think, well, just buy the best coverage. Well, not everybody can absolutely afford the best coverage. It's just not possible sometimes for some people. So the next question becomes, what's the best coverage that I can get for what I can afford? And the only way to be able to even ask that question is to be able to have enough options to be able to position people. That's why, you know, some people have opinions about, well, there should only be Medicare supplements available because they cover almost everything. Yeah, but you got to have about $400 to $500 a month to be able to afford that. And then you have all these Medicare Advantage plans. And again, one's not right or wrong, but those options enable people based on their circumstances in life to get the best for them. They just need help getting there.
Your enrollment period is long over.
Yeah, the AEP, which is the annual enrollment period, the OEP, which is the open enrollment period. Now we're in really SEP season, which is you have to have a life event, which there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that if they're not happy with their coverage right now, if they have a life event, like they move from one county to another, or maybe a spouse dies and their income changes and they can qualify for some kind of assistance through the state or the federal government, they have opportunities to change their cover right now. But then this time of year, Marty, we're dealing with so many people that are turning 65. I mean, we're literally educating.
I don't want to gloss over that. So yeah, you can actually change.
Yeah, depending on your situation, right?
Oh, wow, I never knew this.
Yeah, so again, there's like 20 what are called life events, special enrollment periods. And if you fit into any one of those and you need to make a change or would like to, then you have the ability to do that.
Huh.
But it's knowing what they are, right? You know.
And you gave kind of the basics, but what are the kind of the basics?
So the basics are moving. That's a big one, right? Another one is your financial situation. There are state pharmaceutical programs that are available, and there are federal prescription drug benefits that are available. If you qualify income-wise for any of those, that would give you a special enrollment period as well. If you leave group employer coverage, sometimes states declare disaster emergencies, which we had this past year here, when we had all that big snowstorm. The state declared a disaster emergency for people who didn't change their coverage during the annual enrollment period. That disaster relief opened up an opportunity for them to change their coverage as well.
Why do you say you have so many people turning 65 now?
Well, 10,000 people a day are turning 65 in the country, right? Oh, okay. You know, then here
and
locally,
9,000 of them are here.
Well, we're pretty high on the percentage, baby.
I'm right there, my man. Are you kidding?
Yeah. So, and then we're doing obviously the webinar now in about 30 states. So we're educating. Like yesterday on the webinar, we had almost 400 people. Actually Wednesday, we had almost 400 people. So we're literally educating hundreds of people every week on.
Can I be honest with you about life, what happens? It's actually interesting and kind of sad because this is happening in real time with my wife and her parents, two really smart, insanely successful people. And I mean this because you live this and you know this. It's sad what happens as they start to, what's the word, lose their edge.
Deteriorate a little bit.
Yeah. And my man can't manage anything you're talking about.
You know what's funny, Marty, is we're willing to admit that we're deteriorating physically.
Yes.
Like, hey, you know what? I feel more tired.
Or mentally.
But not as much mentally. That's the thing that I think is like, hey, you know what? My shoulder hurts. My knees hurt. I can't do the things that I used to do. But we like to hold on to that mental edge because that's what makes us feel like we can function, you know? And I find a lot of seniors who they really should be, if their kids are open and willing, they should be bringing their kids into the conversation to get an advocate to work with a trusted partner.
Hold on. This is so friggin' important what you're saying, because that's it's my wife's kind of second full-time job now. But because you know this, because you're on the phone with folks, if you don't have someone, my man, you get lost.
Yeah.
Do you not?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story from this week. And it's so we do a lot of events in the community.
Yeah.
And one of the persons said that they received about 10 cards for people that were interested, and three from were from the same person.
No.
And I just said back to them, you know what that means, right? Like, we need to get a family member involved, you know, to see if this person really needs help or not.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's uber important, you know, for us that are, you know, have parents maybe in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, not to take for granted that they know exactly what they're doing. Now, you might ask them and they might say, get the heck out of here. I know what I'm doing.
On. That's another big issue.
It is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I think just at least being engaged is helpful because we always encourage family involvement if both parties want it.
Men have a very difficult time acknowledging they don't have the game they used to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because again, a lot of our self-worth comes from what we accomplish and manliness, right? You know, and when we're not able to do it at the level we once did, maybe in the workplace and in retirement, you know, it's hard to admit that type of stuff.
And some people will turn 65 and not take any action because they're afraid of turning 65, or they don't want to acknowledge what's happening to them, and then they're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take long to make big mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? Like where you can have 10% penalty every month for the rest of your life.
Explain that, please, because this is relevant as hell.
Yeah, so if you don't enroll in Part B, which is your medical insurance with Medicare, when you're supposed to, which for most people is at 65,
yeah,
unless they're working past the age of 65 and have coverage through their employer. If they don't get it at the right time, Medicare penalizes them 10% of the monthly premium for every 12 months they go without their coverage.
Till you die.
So like we've met people that again, to your point, which I think is a very valid point, is when we don't know what to do, sometimes we, and if we don't go and find a trusted partner, which I do recommend you is what you should do.
Wow, is that a great phrase? We, trusted partner.
Yeah, we end up putting our head in the sand.
Yeah,
and when we put our head in the sand, that's when we get whacked.
Wow. Can you hang them?
Yeah.
I'm watching this in real time. It's scary. I have been friends with Pat Catena at least 15 years, maybe longer. I've supported him. I admire him and respect him and his family and his beliefs. And he lost the other night, as we all know, and resigned from county council as president. And we have him here this afternoon. Good afternoon, Pat.
Afternoon, Marty. How are you today?
Better question, brother. How are you? How are you managing all this?
I'm fine, Marty. I mean, I decided that county council is more than one person. It's not the presidency. It's an institution. And we have important work to do. I have important work to do for my district. You know me. I've always tried to work hard for the people I represent. And there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed out there. One of them I keep talking about is that flooding on the 50 corridor. And I got to say thank you to Senator Dave McCormick, because for that flooding project, I mean, he's pretty much pledged his support for $1 million from the federal government.
Wow.
To help solving for that. I mean, talk about bipartisan support. I mean, Senator McCormick stepped up, and I mean, that's a great thing. So I can't, that's been going on for 90 years, that flooding. But I mean, that's one of the things, like I said, it's a distraction having all of this go on. So I thought it was in the best interest of myself to step down from the presidency. I mean, obviously, I'm concerned about my family, too, because it's not just me. It's my family involved in this. Even my ex-wife, I mean, Jack's mother, I mean, Jack. It's a shame that they're targeted because of me. And that, in my opinion, that's hitting really below the belt.
What happened the other night? Give me your assessment.
What happened the other? Well, yes. I lost. I mean, my assessment is I lost. I respect the will of the voters, and I'm moving on. It's a new day at this point in time.
Yeah, but hold on, Pat. What's happened to the voters? The landscape has changed, what I keep hearing. What's that mean, sir?
I'm not sure what that means. Honestly, I don't know. I'd love to tell you that I have all the answers, but I don't. And, I mean, I respect the will of the voters that they made their decision, and we need to move on at this point.
Are you done with politics?
No, I still believe that I can really do a lot for my district. There's still, I mean, we have a lot of big things coming up.
True.
18 weeks of paid sick leave. A possible reassessment looming. There's a lot of big ticket items that still need to be addressed, and I'm really concerned about a reassessment. I'm concerned because there's going to be a lot of people that are really going to get hurt badly.
Or small business owners that can't afford 18 weeks of paid leave.
Well, that too. I mean, there's a lot. Like I said, I mean, I can't deal with the distraction. I mean, it was better for me to step down in order to focus my efforts on things that I know I can impact and things that I know I can make better and things that we really need to solve for issues. We need to make government better for the people, not more difficult for small business owners, not more difficult for people with a huge reassessment over their heads.
It's unbelievable.
There's so many people out there that when I talk, I mean, a reassessment is probably the right thing to do, but I can't get an honest answer. How do we help the people that are going to be impacted the most? And yes, we have a loop, but that doesn't go far enough. There's going to be a lot of people that don't qualify for the loop program that are still going to be hurt hard by this impact.
So,
and
Pat, so people
really
know,
what
Pat,
we need to get to.
You stepped down as council president. You're staying on council, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I'm just stepping out of the presidency. I mean, I've served four tours of duty. I was there all alone during COVID, during the height of COVID.
Yes, sir.
Running a meeting, sitting there all alone. I've served my tour of duty. I wish whoever the next president well. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, we have. County Council is a part-time body. Everyone knows. We get paid about $11,000 a year for what we do. $3 billion budget. And we get it's kind of ridiculous when you really think about it. I mean, really, in my opinion, and it's County Council needs to be significantly shrunk. I don't agree with 15 people, but it's just too many and it's too hard to get things done. It's very similar to the state legislature. I mean, the state legislature is also too big. And I mean, I would have voted to downsize the state legislature because common sense tells me that when something gets too big and you're not getting things done, then maybe we need to reevaluate things. I mean, I guess that's common sense or my business perspective coming through, but it is what it is. I mean, if I vote myself out of a job at some point, so be it. I mean, it should be about the people at the end of the day, not me.
Pat, I respect and admire your courage, man. You know I love you. Anything you need, my man, we're always here.
Thank you so much, Marty. Take care.
Good for him for showing up.